Okay, last Wednesday we started on hearing God's voice, and the main scripture from that was John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's fundamental for us to recognize, believe, and confess that as a believer, God does speak to you, and you can hear his voice. And you do hear his voice. I am God's sheep. He speaks to me, and I hear him and follow him. This is the normal Christian life. Just reviewing the main points. The most important way that God speaks to us is through his word. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God isn't just a book. Jesus was and is the Word. Jesus and the Bible cannot be separated from one another. They are the same. The Word of God is alive, and God can use it to speak directly to us regarding our current situations. God can speak to us through an audible voice, but hearing God's audible voice is uncommon, although we've had a few that have heard it. God can speak to us through other people. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." When people speak to you, it should be tested by the Word of God and should be confirmation of what the Lord has been speaking to you. Or you may put what was spoken to the side and you may find He confirms it later on through the Word or another form of confirmation, such as multiple people speaking the same things to you. God will never bring condemnation or fear, so compare what is being said to you with the character and nature of God that is revealed in the Word. Does this sound like something God would really say to me?
Good.
God can speak to us through circumstances. Circumstances are simply a confirmation of what God has been speaking to you. We used that example of Gideon last time. Of course, he was old covenant believer. Now we have something better, but at the time, to be sure what he was hearing from God, he asked God to confirm it, and God can circumstances can confirm things to us as well. God can speak to us through dreams and visions. Joel 2:28 said, "Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." When God speaks to me through a dream, they're always way more vivid than a normal dream. Dreams from God will stand out with an understanding that it was God. You may not understand what it meant at first, but you'll know that it was from God. And I can confirm that for you because that's how it works with me. God can speak to you through your desires. Psalm 37:4 said, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." The key is delighting yourself in the Lord, and the word delight means soft and pliable. Basically, if you are soft and pliable to the Lord, then you can trust that your desires are from him. You're letting him mold you. God speaks to you spirit to spirit. Sometimes we miss God's voice because we are looking for the spectacular, but God's voice is subtle. We need to be in the Word of God so that we can rightly judge whether we are hearing God or not. However, we also need the Holy Spirit. God's spirit in you sounds like you. So sometimes you'll miss it because you think, "Oh, that was just me. That was just a random thought or feeling that I had." But 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." And 1 John 4:17 says, "As he is, so are we in this world." So as he is, what is he? He's a spirit, right? So are we in this world. In your spirit, you are exactly like Jesus. So when God speaks to you in your spirit, it takes faith to believe the still small voice of God. And that was our review. So that's kind of why I kind of went through it a little fast. So, but we will go over some of the same stuff again that was in the review. So here's part two of hearing God's voice. To go further in depth in the still small voice of God. That's the Spirit speaking to you. This often sounds like you. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I just read it, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. It's impossible to tell where God's spirit ends and your spirit begins. You are one with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a verse we all know about, we are a new creation now. Says that when you're born again, your spirit becomes brand new, comes alive, and becomes identical to Jesus.
Interesting.
This is why when God speaks to us, spirit to spirit, we can sometimes miss it because we think it is simply our own thoughts we are making up. So if we are one with Him, we need to know we're one with Him. And sometimes our thoughts come from our flesh, sometimes it comes from the spirit that we're one with Him. So we need to learn to decipher that. When he speaks to you in that small voice, this can also feel like a gut feeling, a hunch, an intuition, or an inner witness. This is when you know in your knower. That must be an English thing. Know in your knower, even when outward circumstances might seem to show evidence to the contrary. Perhaps everything on the outside looks perfect, but you have a check in your spirit or a gut feeling that something isn't right. Or it could be that on the outside, what you're feeling on the inside seems crazy, but you know it's what God is telling you to do in faith, and you have peace to move forward. 1 John 2:20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have the mind of Christ." It's not me and my fleshly mind that knows all things. It's the mind of Christ that knows all things. And I have that in him. So I have to listen to him because he knows all things. The still small voice can be a picture or an impression. This could just be an image or a picture that pops into your mind or imagination. Dreams and visions. Dreams are when asleep. Visions are when you're awake. Dreams from God often have a different quality than your normal dreams, and they are more vivid. Dreams cannot always be trusted, just like circumstances or other people. They must be confirmed by the Word of God. And shoot, that dream about the bus, that was a dream that I pondered for a long time until it was confirmed. Ashley was once praying for a woman, and God gave him a picture in his mind of her playing on a playground as a child. He described to her there was like bullies and swings, and she said, "Oh my gosh, that was me. That happened to me as a little girl." He was picturing her. He was a word of knowledge that God gave him. For her, while he prayed for her, probably to confirm to her that Ashley was a man of God, I would assume. Your imagination is powerful. This helps in the area of conquering sin and also walking in faith. In James 1, 14 through 15, summarizes, "You cannot imagine yourself sinning in a certain area first. You will never go there." Right? So sin starts in our mind first before we, act it out. Well, on the other side is the positive side of faith. If you're believing God for something, you have to see yourself receiving it, give thanks for it, and then you'll walk in it. It's kind of like last night when we were talking about a building. That's the positive side of faith, but your imagination can work on the wrong side as well. This can also be an unsettling, a check in your spirit, an absence of peace. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So let peace be your umpire. Hearing God's direction for you isn't always a negative emotion. But it could just be the absence of that peace of God in your heart. It's as though peace just left. So, let me reread that. Hearing God's direction for you isn't always a negative emotion, but it could just be the absence of that peace of God in your heart. It's as though peace just left. So if the peace is gone, I mean, if the peace is gone, it might not, that might be how he's telling you that which way to go. So how do we know if God's speaking? Questions to ask yourself. Does it line up with Scripture? God will never contradict his word. People might say, God has told me to stop reading the word, or God has told me to divorce my wife. These things are easily dismissed as either the enemy or the flesh because they obviously contradict the word of God. Those are easy ones. Write this verse down if you're taking notes. Psalm 89:34. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Many times it's our flesh, our feelings, that is the predominant driving force behind our actions. Then we will try to find a scripture to back up our emotions rather than allowing the word to direct our emotions. Hebrews 1:3, and upholding all things by the word of his power. God created the universe with his word. He spoke it and it happened. And it is still held together by his word. If God were to break his word, the universe would fall apart. Psalm 138:2. You have magnified your word above all your name. God's word and Jesus are the same. This verse is essentially saying that God's word is his final authority. He will not change it. If it's something that contradicts his word, it is not God. It is either your flesh or the enemy, but it is not him. There are some things that are outside of his word that are unique situations to you, like which house should you buy or which school to attend, etc. Like you're not going to find those answers in the word. In those cases, this question may not apply to you. As a side note, if any, okay, this is a side note. If anyone is more focused on the spiritual gifts than the Word of God, they are more likely to get off balance. The spiritual gifts are powerful and important, but they cannot be placed in higher importance than the Word of God. So, if there's a prophetic word or somebody speaks in tongues or whatever, right? Do not prioritize that more than what the Word of God has already said. these things can become an idol because you're intrigued by the power of it. So she just went on a little side tangent on that one. The word of God is our benchmark for the things of the spirit. Things can happen in the spirit realm with the Holy Spirit, but also with the enemy. So the word of God is how we determine which spirit is in operation. We're still on things to ask yourself. Do I have spiritual peace? This is not talking about flesh peace. Sometimes your flesh can freak out when God tells you to do something. Once Ashley's flesh freaked out the first time God told him to give $1,000. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amplified Bible says to act as an umpire. We just read that verse a minute ago. The peace of God makes the call. What does an umpire do? He sits there and he has to tell you if it's a ball or strike, fair or foul, right? And it's his call, whether it's right or wrong. Nowadays they got these they use cameras and whatever, and they can override an umpire. But let's go back before they had that. An umpire made the call, right? So balls and strikes. Well, if something comes down the pike and you have peace about it, strike. Okay, that's good. Outside the zone, I don't have peace about it. Okay, that's a ball. You guys get the umpire logic? Let the peace be the umpire. Use that as your measuring stick. When considering a decision, sit still and think about taking that action. See yourself making that decision and what it looks like for you to do it. Pray in the spirit and ask yourself, do I have spiritual peace about this? The word umpire or rule means to settle with finality all questions. So if you have questions, doubt, or struggling with unbelief, the peace of God will settle with finality all of those questions and will cause faith to arise on the inside of you. So fight for spiritual peace. When the Lord showed me that, it's time to take this bus this way, I had peace. I had peace about it, and I knew that it was from God because I was like, yeah, there's gonna be people mad at me. Oh well, I mean, I'm gonna do what God says, and I feel good about it, and I'm not in anguish about it. It was the peace. I let the peace rule that decision right there. That so I use myself as an example. I'm sure you guys all have your own examples too. Let's see. If you do not have spiritual peace, don't feel pressured or pushed by anyone into making that decision. An umpire, he makes a call and the batter might not like it, but don't feel pressured to change it. Let the peace be the umpire. Another wise thing is just to sleep on it. Don't make snap decisions. It's better to wait and sleep on big decisions. There'll always be other opportunities. Okay, next question to ask yourself. Is this just something my flesh wants to do? Our internal thoughts can usually be traced back to a source thought. Is what you are thinking easily traceable, or did it just pop into your head out of nowhere? God thoughts will always lead to life and fruit. They lead to progress and moving forward. Thoughts of the flesh or the enemy will get you going in circles, leading in indecision. There is no life or fruit in the destination of those thoughts. James 1, 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Any pattern of thinking that causes instability is not of God, and it comes from us not being grounded in the Word. So think about that being tossed back and forth. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. So that's not from God, okay? Being grounded in the Word, knowing what the Word of God says, you let the peace rule. God says this, and that's that way. So when the Word of God is our anchor, it will keep us from these kinds of back and forth, indecisive, distracted patterns of thinking. Okay, next question to ask yourself. Is this a life-altering decision? Pray about it. Ask God for confirmation. Lord, this is a big decision. Can you confirm that this direction is from you? We can do that. After this, someone may give you a prophetic word to confirm it. Pray in the Spirit and ask Him to confirm it in His word. A scripture may jump out at you as though the Lord wrote it specifically to you to confirm His direction. So all you have to do is ask. Seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:13 says, "But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Don't just tell everyone about it and take a poll. Take what you think the Lord has told you and ask the advice of one or two people who are more spiritually mature than you are, who have your best interests at heart, and who can have a neutral response. Being neutral means it doesn't personally affect them positively or negatively. Like if you have to make a decision that's going to affect me, that could cloud my counsel to you, right? So make sure it's, someone who's more mature and neutral. Make sure those you are seeking counsel from have experience in that area and have fruit of it in their lives. For example, if it's parenting advice, seek counsel from someone who has older, healthy, happy, and successful children. In the context of marriage, wait until you are in unity with your spouse before you make a decision. It is better to delay than to make a decision without unity. God is bigger than your mistakes, so it's worth it to value that unity in your relationship. And this is, we're still talking about life-altering decisions. Keep your priorities right. God first, family second, ministry third. Being a child of God always comes before anything else, even in the context of serving God. Those priorities might have been out of order in the past, but right? God first, family second, ministry third. Okay, next section, acting on God's voice. It takes faith to hear God's voice and be obedient and act on his voice. It won't be something that is so simple that it doesn't require faith. In fact, it normally won't make logical sense when the Lord speaks. Ashley said, "I can say, God told me to immigrate to America. God told me to launch our own ministry, etc., with 100% certainty after the fact." So he wasn't certain till after the fact. But leading up to the set to those decisions, he was never 100% sure because it took faith to take those steps. One night the Lord told Ashley to match the offering. He said it was about $10,000, and he wanted to he had a feeling inside of him to match it. He told Carly about it, and she asked, "Are you sure?" And he responded, "I'm about 90% sure." And she said, "That's good enough for me." And they acted on it. So many good things came from that obedience that after the fact, they knew that it was God. But leading up to it, they weren't 100% certain. It will always be a step of faith to act on God's voice. People who talk about hearing God don't have a direct line to God that you don't have. It just takes faith to act on God's voice. In John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life, right? The flesh profits nothing. So this can't be understood logically, but by the Spirit. This is why it takes faith, because it's not going to make sense sometimes in our flesh. And acting on God's word takes practice. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Begin with the small things and you will grow in your ability." Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much." When you hear God's voice, act on it. God is always speaking to us. It's up to us to tune in to hear him. Pray in the Spirit and let God speak to you all the time. Even David fought the lion and the bear before he fought Goliath. So hearing God in the little things first is practice for the big things. You can hear God in the storm, in a crisis moment, but it is better to practice hearing God in the little things in daily life before the storm comes. Then you will more easily be able to hear him in the big things. The more you act when you hear God's voice, your senses will become sharper. However, if you neglect to act on his voice, over time you will become dull of hearing and your heart will become hard. That's in Matthew 13:15. To overcome a hardened heart, just repent and make a commitment that, Lord, if I think it's your voice, I'm going to act on it. The Lord desires obedience more than sacrifice. And 1 Samuel 15, 22 says that. And that's the lesson tonight. So it's important when we do recognize his voice that we act on it, but he'll bring his voice to you in many different ways. And it's going to take faith to do it. But right there, that last one, the Lord desires obedience more than sacrifice. Any discussion, comments, questions? Need me to repeat anything?
I don't know if it was on that teaching that you just did, but I heard Ashley say something like, gosh, I don't see, I don't understand this part that much, but how the Adam stays, and he believes it's the word of God. And how it
Yes.
says that if God's word was ever, if he lied or what I mean, how it's like the whole thing would explode or something, but he was talking about that part where you can't figure out how an atom stays together. And
Yep, he did say that. So scientifically, right, there's an atom has what? Proton, neutron,
molecules,
electron,
yeah.
and all the, and they're bundled up and in a bunch of atoms form something, but nobody knows how the atom just doesn't split and fall apart. How come they stay bonded? And it's by he said it's by God's word.
Word, yeah.
Man, I'm just sitting here thinking. I'm so thankful for this word because when you think about it, we're looking for God's peace when we're making a decision, if it's there or if it's not. And it kind of takes the pressure off of us, like, oh Lord, I can't hear what you're trying to tell me. Do I do it? Do I do it? Do I do it not? And so this is kind of a clear thing. It's peace. We don't, I mean, I'm going to say something. I don't mean anything bad by it, but we don't have to ask Tommy for a word. Should we do it? Should we not? Because God wants us to hear from him clearly, not to go to another source, but directly to him. And so I'm so thankful this word is coming and being clear. because it's concerning that I'm just back to that thing again. But I've just when we even planned a retreat or something, we had to get a word from Tommy. I'm not putting Tommy down. I'm just saying that was really wrong way to go about it. We should have been getting it from the Lord. So I'm so thankful that God's clarifying this for us all. There's, that we go directly to Him. Not that we can't get a word, but just like you said, we have to check it out to the Word of God if we get
Well, and I think more importantly, we can hear from God. This is what we're hearing. We can hear from God.
We can get the word. There's a whole Bible of them right in front of us, But I'm just so thankful for this. I'm sitting here going, man, Lord, I'm listening to what we're listening to. Thank you for clarifying and bringing this word to all of us to know, because it's not as hard as we think to just to go by God's, do we have peace or do we not? And if we don't, then hold off and make sure you're not supposed to, He's given us kind of an easy way to do it. It's
Or ask him.
not hard.
Yeah, ask him.
We need to start recognizing the small, subtle voice in us. Get tuned into that. I think it was just on last Sunday when we talked about the veil being torn. There's no more veil between us. It isn't just the high priest that can go in there. It's all of us
There you go.
to be with God. We're the temple now. He's in us.
That part about acting on God's voice, it takes faith to hear God's voice and obedience and then act on his voice. That really is comforting to me, because I always thought when you heard, you had to know for certain that God was telling you to do something before you did it. And then this was saying you're not going to have 100% certainty before you take action on it. So that was like, oh, that's so much better. Because I never, you're always, I'm always doubting myself. Like, is that right? Am I feeling it in my gut? Is that true? Should I do this or not? I always thought you would know for sure
Yeah.
beforehand. And so.
Yeah, that's a good point. Until it's confirmed, it's going to take a lot more faith. And he says, whether you step to the right or step to the left, I'm going to tell you which way to go. So what if you step left and you're supposed to go right? He's still going to tell you. He's still going to tell you, nope, you need to go right, So sometimes if we could just be like, Lord, I believe you're telling me this, and I'm gonna go this way, and just show me, and I'll be listening if it's not the right way. But I'm doing this out of obedience. Yeah, that part stood out to me too, Kendra, because I need to learn to do that myself more. I too was always looking for that 100% confirmation or
Which
feeling.
holds us back. It holds
But
us back from
if you
responding.
get told the exact directions or whatever, I mean, what faith is that to take?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're given the whole piece of the puzzle, you know what I mean? And if we obey him out of faith and say, Lord, you're telling me to go there. I believe that's what you're telling me, and that's what I'm going to do because I want to obey you. He's still going to be pleased with us. And if we don't have the right understanding, he's going to give it to us. This is like, I really appreciate your obedience, but you might have a little wrong. Let me show you some more.
Well, and that also comes into believing how much he loves us, because what you're talking about, Kendra, it's like this hard taskmaster that we have to get everything right or we're in trouble, versus like what Danny was saying, if we do go to the right and we know we're, he'll just gently tell us that's not what you're supposed to do, go to the left or whatever. It's more about love.
Yeah, I was just going to say, obviously I hate sports references, but when you talk about like the umpire, like how long does he have to make the ball or strike call, right? It's immediate, right? And if you think about it, like going back to what you've started with, like we have the same spirit as Jesus, right? We have all this stuff. And so if our heart's in the right place and we want the right thing, like immediately what we feel we should act on, and the Lord will either guide us or correct us appropriately, or we'll go the right way. You know, like the umpire's not gonna be like, "Hey, batter, do you think that was a strike?" Or, "Hey, catcher, do you think that was a ball?" Like whatever, right? It's like vice versa. It's like if the more we sit on something and allow the enemy to get in there, it's like that immediate action, be like, "No, I feel this is right, and I'm gonna go." We either know we're gonna be led by the Spirit if our heart's in the right way, or we'll get the Lord to be like, "Maybe shift a little bit over here," you know, like. But I would imagine like the action around it, and that trust and that faith of what we believe in and feel is what we need to continue to move forward on, you know.
I think about that, the guys with the talents, right? The one they gave 5 talents, and at once he went and did it. And one or two, at once he went and did it. I think that's an NIV version though, but it still speaks to me. Like when you get the word of God, you know, remember that teaching I had when I said, you know, Nate, mow the lawn, but it's not at once, you know. Then there's more nudging, and then there's frustration or whatever with me and Nate, you know. But it's, you know, it's just us learning to recognize his voice
And
and then
respond.
acting on it. Anything else? All right. Well, Andy, do you want to pray for us?
Dear Lord, we praise you and thank you for this time that we get to gather as a body. We thank you for the word that you brought through Dan, Lord. And we ask that you allow this to just soak into our hearts, Lord. Allow us to hear where you're trying to take us, Lord, through Dan, and we thank you for his submission to the Spirit, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for everyone on this call and the ones that aren't here, Lord. And in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.